Good morning. Welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church. It may be a sort of cloudy day outside, but there's a lot of warm sunshine in here. How about greeting your friends and neighbors across the aisle as you pass the peace? Now, if you will regain your seats, please, and let us sing our hymn of preparation as we prepare for our worship service. It's on the inside of your bulletin. There are several announcements that I would like to call to your attention. The first one is the pancake breakfast. You may have seen all sorts of posters and flyers around the church. We're going to have a pancake breakfast next Saturday to celebrate missions and to raise funds for all of the mission activities of the church. The interesting thing you need to note is that it's $5 before you get to the door and $6 after you get to the door. There will be tickets being sold at the side door and at the entrance door. So you need to grab your tickets while you're here. Also, you might need to call the church office if you call and tell Emmy to hold the ticket for you. She will hold it, she has said, and you can pay her later. Not after you eat, but before. So Emmy says she will hold a ticket with your name on it for the $5 price if you call her and instruct her to do so. That's one of the best fundraisers we have because IHOP does everything and we get all profit. So please come and support your mission activities for the church and get some good food to boot. Another thing I would like to call to your attention, of course, always you need to read your bulletin, but you need to pay particular attention to the menus that are listed on the front page of your newsletter that you got this past week. We're doing something different with our Wednesday night gatherings this semester, and we're going to have catered meals. The menus are there, and you must have a reservation by 5 o'clock on Monday, because the count has got to be accurate. And if you don't show up after you've made a reservation, they will let you do it as a to-go plate the next day. But you're expected to pay because we are doing the catering. And, of course, we're also going to have to be paying some tax on this. So it's gone up 50 cents. But that's still not bad. So check your menus. Also pay attention to your calendar. We have an administrative board meeting next Sunday. We also have a UMW executive committee meeting on Monday. Be sure and check your calendar so that you will be where you need to be and you don't miss the new things getting started for the new year. Now we will continue our worship as the acolytes enter with the light of Christ.
Thank you. Will all who are able please stand and join in this morning's call to worship? This is a Sabbath dedicated to our God. Let this gathering place be a home for all people. Let all the people praise the God of all nations. Let us give thanks and enjoy the blessings God gives. The earth has yielded its blessings. Let all the ends of the earth revere our Creator.
Please, in praying the prayer of invocation is printed in your bulletin. How good and pleasant it is, O God, when kindred live together in unity. Draw us now into the community you intend for all your people. Help us to listen and understand both your word for us and our sharing with one another. Keep us from being misled by popular acclaim. and the wisdom of the marketplace. May we not be under observant guides to one another, but rather be fully open to your gifts and obedient to your call. Come to us now with healing and blessing. Amen. You may be seated. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price. I invite you to turn in your bulletin to the insert that is printed for you there.
Reverend Martin and congregation, I present Peyton Ray Larkins for baptism.
This certainly is one of the joys that I have as a minister, to bless and to baptize these new ones as they come into the family of God. It is very biblical and very scriptural that we celebrate children of believing parents who are a part of the church, and their children are a part of the church. And we affirm that one day she will have the privilege to make this profession for herself, as we will state in our liturgy. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sins? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever form they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord, in union with Christ, in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? Will you nurture Peyton in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? Do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life, and include Peyton now before you in your care? Let us join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the Scriptures of the Old and New Testament. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? The Lord be with you. Eternal Father, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus. Nurtured in the water of a womb, he was baptized by John, anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection, and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and they who receive it, to wash away their sin and clothe them in righteousness throughout their lives, that dying and being raised with Christ, they may share in his final victory.
All praise to you, eternal Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen.
What is the name of the child? Peyton Ray Larkins, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Holy Spirit work within you that being born through the water and through the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Christ. I can change this. This is your newest member. When the world says she's too young, we say, no, she's not. When they say she's not pretty enough, we'll say, yes, she is. When the world says, give her to me, we say, you can't have her. She's been bought with a price, the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And sometimes they just want to go back to mommy and daddy. I'm a grandpapa. You're not supposed to be crying like that. Wasn't that bad. Now it's our joy to welcome our new sister in Christ. Through baptism, she is incorporated by the Holy Spirit into God's new creation and made to share in Christ's royal priesthood. We're all one in Christ Jesus. With joy and thanksgiving, we welcome her as members. Members of the household of God, I commend Peyton to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love.
Together.
the God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory in Christ, establish you and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and peace. Amen.
The Old Testament reading for today is from the 45th chapter of Genesis, verses 1 through 15. Hear now a reading from God's Word. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried out, "Send everyone away from me." So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, so dismayed were they at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come closer to me," and they came closer. He said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are 5 more years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh, lord of all his house and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not delay.' So you shall settle in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children and your children's children, as well as your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. I will provide for you there, since there are 5 more years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have will not come to poverty. And now your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see that it is my own mouth that speaks to you. You must tell my father how greatly I am honored in Egypt and all that you have seen. Hurry and bring my father down here." Then he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, while Benjamin wept upon his neck. And he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. And after that, his brothers talked with him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I invite you to join in the singing of the Psalter. We will be using Psalm 133, which is found as an insert in your bulletin. The choir will sing the printed words. We'll ask you to join in on the sung response. Joyce will begin with that response now.
Thank you.
The epistle reading is from the 11th chapter of Romans, verses 1 through 2a, and then continuing with verses 29 through 32. Listen again for God's word to us. I ask then, has God rejected his people? By no means. I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. For the gift and the calling of God are irrevocable. Just as you were once disobedient to God, but now have received mercy because of their disobedience, so they have now been disobedient in order that, by the mercy shown to you, they too now receive mercy. For God has imprisoned all in disobedience so that he may be merciful to all. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Holy God, as we have come into this place, we thank you for your presence that has assured us in our spirit that we indeed are in God's house with God's people to lift up praise and adorations to you. We come today confessing, Almighty God, that we indeed are needy people, that we need your love, your spirit, your care, your support for us in various ways. And we pray for those who are not able to be with us in worship today, for the needs that they have that are keeping them at home or in the hospital or in a place where they are recuperating from those illnesses that have afflicted them. And we are reminded again of the losses that we have experienced within our military, for the families who are grieving this day. for military personnel who are in harm's way because of the call of their country. And we pray, dear God, for those missionaries and others who have gone forward to do the will of their Heavenly Father, and not for some time of tour of duty, but a sacrifice of their lives, giving all that they have for the call of the gospel of Christ upon their lives and upon the message that they share of God's love for all peoples. We pray, dear God, that you will continue to touch men and women and boys and girls, and that they will hear the call and answer to ministry and to missions. And we pray for our children, our young people, our adult teachers as they prepare to go back to school, that your grace and love and strength will be with them, that will give them the nurture and the care to bear a Christian witness in our public and private school systems. Again, dear God, we ask for your blessings upon Main Street, that we indeed will continue to be a place that looks forward to mission, to how do we touch others for the cause of Christ. And we give all that is accomplished here your glory and honor, and pray as you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us worship the Lord now with our morning tithes and offering. Sisters, would you come, please? Thank you. Let us pray. To you, Almighty God, we give glory, honor, and praise and thanksgiving for the privilege to give to your kingdom. Bless these gifts, Almighty God, and those who gave them, and those who chose not to give this day. We give all to your glory. Now bless these gifts as they go forward from this place and around the world to share the good news of Christ wherever the need is found. In Christ's name, amen.
Please be seated. We invite the children forward for the children's message.
Good morning. Good morning. There you go. It is so good to see y'all this morning. I can just see y'all just full of energy. So excited because this is a very special Sunday. Why is this such a special Sunday? You know? You got it. That's it. Here, come here.
The day before school starts.
That's it. So why do you go to school? Why do you have to go to school? Get an education? Learn? Yeah. Who sends you to school? School bus, yeah? Your parents, yeah. Your parents send you to school. Why do they send you to school? To learn and all that, but there's another reason. At least the reason I'm looking for this morning. They send you to school because they love you. Right? You ever thought about that? You look like you really don't quite believe that one. It's kind of hard to believe that, but it's true. I don't know if I've told y'all about this, but I had a collie dog that went to school more than I did because he could hear the bells ringing and he took off to school and I kept saying, "Mommy, my stomach hurts. I don't want to go to school. I'm too sick." The dog knew right where the classroom was and everything else. In the day's reading of Scripture that we haven't read yet, the gospel lesson, it's about a mother who loved her daughter and she went to Jesus. And she went to Jesus because her daughter had a demon, the Bible says, and she was very, very sick. And so we realize that our parents love us in so many ways, and they pray for us, and they care for us, and they do the things sometimes that we don't quite understand how it can be love, like sending you to school every day, all the time, when you could be at home by the swimming pool. But they show their love to us in a lot of different ways. So how do you show your love to your parents? By doing your homework? By going to school? By being faithful? So this morning you have some money, and you have taken this money up for what?
A llama.
And we don't know exactly how much a llama costs this morning, but we do have that number back in our office. And so we are purchasing a llama. And what does this llama show? It shows love for people that we don't even know by showing that we care, that they can have provisions in their village and their community, and that the llama can help them take care of their family. So let us pray together. Dear God, we thank you for love that is manifested through our parents and through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and through us as we share this money with others. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, I guess you put the money in those boxes right there. The lesson this morning is found in the Gospel of Matthew. Begin reading with the 21st verse of the 15th chapter. Hear now the reading of God's Word. Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And just then a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. She said, "Yes, Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." And then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. A message was sent from Greenville Special Services to Mr. Phelps. It said, "Your food stamps will be terminated in March because we have been informed that you have deceased. If there is a change in your status, you may be reinstated." I don't know how many of you know of any missionaries or have had the privilege to meet missionaries from various places in the world. I have some friends that have answered the call to the mission field, and some go to Africa, and some have gone to Japan, and some to Russia now since it has opened up. And each one of them responds in missions in a different way. The type of ministry that might take place in Africa will not work maybe in Japan. When I think about the first missionaries like Abraham, and I think about how he was endeavoring to communicate this message that he had received from God, how he was endeavoring to share this Yahweh, this monotheistic one God, to those who believed in a variety of gods, and the efforts that he had to make. God calls different ones at different times to reach out to different types of people. And yet we understand that God begins to work with people right where they are. God began to work with the children of Israel while they were slaves down in Egypt. He began to reach out to them through his servant Moses and began to try to communicate to them this God who loved them and would nurture them and take care of them. And you know that story, or many of you know how that the people would follow for a while, they would do good for a while, and then they would begin to wander away. We understand that change and growth and development and adaptations are all qualities that make it possible for people to exist and for people to continue to grow and to survive and thrive in all types of circumstances. In this passage of Scripture, Jesus, too, was challenged. He was challenged at the level of his humanness. His concept was that he would walk away from this woman, that he would forget that she had a need, maybe, that she was a Canaanite, that she was not of the household of Israel. Jesus is challenged. How many of us find ourselves in our Christian walk to be challenged? To challenge to reach out to those that we, in maybe bygone times, would have just as soon turned our backs on. Sometimes we reach out to those who maybe our perception and our ideas about who they are and what they are calls us to be restless within our spirit. Jesus, here in this passage of Scripture, is struggling. He's struggling with his humanness, and he also is experiencing his faith as it is changing. If we don't change, then we die. One sure sign of death is a lack of change, a lack of willingness to change in our outreach and our concept as a church. But we understand that this faith that we have is a living faith. And this faith that was shared this morning was a lively faith. And this Canaanite woman comes out of her community and she reaches out. And Jesus changes his mind. But somebody said he might have changed his mind, but he keeps the change. We don't have to lose our convictions because of our outreach. We have a message to share. And this woman, as she comes to Jesus, she doesn't come to him out of the magnitude of what she has. She comes to Jesus out of her problem. The Bible tells us that she had a demon. Says in other translations that she was vexed by a demon. It doesn't tell us why it happened. It doesn't speak to us about whose fault it is. It doesn't say that the mother has done something wrong, or if the little girl had been dabbling in witchcraft. It just says she had a need. I think about this mother, as she reaches out to Christ for her little daughter. I can remember as a young man, a young boy, going to my dad and saying, "Dad, pray for me. I don't feel well this morning. Would you pray for me? Dad, there's some things that are bothering me. Would you mind praying with me?" You know, sometimes my phone rings and it'll be one of my children. And they'll say, "Dad, I need you to pray for me. I've got an issue at work. Or I have this issue that's bothering me. Or I have this friend that needs a special. Would you pray with me, Dad?" Those are special moments. Special, sacred moments. And I hope that your children have that same type of relationship with you, or your grandchildren, that they know that you are a praying, caring, loving mom, dad, grandparent. The other day I rediscovered my cousin. We had been separated for about 20-something years, and we met and began to communicate on Facebook, and we began to share about Granny Sanders' prayers, about our parents, about how that they shared their faith with us. And I cannot begin to tell you how many missionaries and ministers are in our family because of my grandmother's prayers. And this little girl, she was her little girl. She had been the one that this mother had carried for 9 months. This had been the one that she had taught how to talk. This is the one that she had gone to the store with, maybe. And if we were to compare that to a modern day perception, this is the one where they had gone to JCPenney's or Belk's or Sears or some other shopping center, and they had shared and said, "Well, Mom, does this match my dress? You think this will go with my new shoes?" This was one that she had loved and interacted with. Then one day, maybe the little girl begins to tear at her clothes. It's obvious that this joyous little child, something was taking place and she was changing. I thought about The Exorcism, the book that I read years ago, The Exorcist. I think about the changes that maybe took place in her little girl. And she comes to Jesus and says, I need help. When you're in trouble, it doesn't matter whose fault it is. When you find yourself broken, bruised, and disgusted, you don't need an investigator to find out why. You don't need somebody to form a commission of inquiry. And when we see people as a church that are dying and broken and hurt and abused, we don't necessarily always have to find out why. We need to reach out in love. And Jesus comes by. And the Bible says she was so excited. I can imagine that she was the one that had heard about the blind being healed and the lame walk. And some people saying, oh, this has just got to be the most fabricated, fictitious stories you've ever heard. But this lady who needed something comes to Jesus and said, I need help. Kinmon Hines writes, it was the same Jesus who had met a man whose body was withered with leprosy, and he had touched him and made him whole. It was this Jesus who had met a paralytic man, a man who had not moved his arms nor his legs for a long time. But Jesus told him to arise and take up your bed and walk, and he did. It was this Jesus who met the woman who had an issue of blood for 12 long years, and she simply touched the hem of his garment and made whole. It was this Jesus who was coming her way, and she was so consumed with excitement. She ran out to meet him. If you're sick, you may want to find yourself a doctor. If you have a legal problem, you need to find a lawyer. If you have family problems, you may need to go to a counselor. If you're having trouble in school as a young person, you may need to find a tutor. If you're having problems with your pipes at home, you may need a plumber. But if your problem is demon possession, if the devil is riding your back, if you want your little girl or little boy back, you need to find an emancipator, a liberator, a demon chaser, a yoke breaker, a problem solver, a mind fixer. You need to find Jesus. And the Bible tells us that she came and found him, and she began crying after him, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. Jesus says, we don't give bread to the dogs. There's no way that you can smooth that over. That's what Jesus said. Now, in doing some research, I understood that this dog that Jesus was referring to was not the dog that lived out at the dump. This was not the mangy, old, scraggly dog consumed with fleas. This was not the dog that ate the rotten carcasses that had been thrown on the side of the road. This was a dog that Jesus was referring to was like a pet. One of those dogs that as people sat at the table and they took the bread and they wiped their hands and wiped the grease off and threw the bread into the floor and the dogs would eat the bread. That's the type of dog that Jesus was referring to. But still, he called her, referred to her as a dog. She looks at Jesus and she said to him, have mercy on me, thou son of David. Here's this woman coming out of the very rejected group of people, and she gives Jesus a title, son of David. You see, it's my convictions that some of the people that come to church and are looking for food are not just looking for physical food. And some of the people that come to church and looking for clothes are not just looking for physical clothes. I think some of those people that come into our doors are people that are hungry spiritually. They need to experience Christ's loving, caring, nurturing touch. as we reach out to them, these outcasts, these nobodies, these people that are the others of our society, and to be touched. To be touched not like you would run off some strange dog, to be touched with a loving, caring touch that says that God is love. You see, Jesus isn't just another helper. He is not just another problem solver. He is the only solution for sin-sick souls. He's the only help. He's the only problem solver. He's not just one among many. And Jesus breaks his silence and says, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And he has ignored this woman, but she has endured the ridicule. And when Jesus opens his mouth, he says to her, I have not seen such great faith, no, not in Israel. No, not in those who have had the covenant and the relationship. Young people that are getting ready to go back to school, don't forget, just like this lady, that you have a master. And the master is Jesus Christ. Teachers going back to school, you have a master. And he is Jesus Christ. Choir getting ready now to enter back into the chancel area and begin to lead in worship, you have a master. And he is Jesus Christ. And his crumbs are better than anyone else's. Jesus has let the dogs in. Jesus has reached to the outsiders, and they have become insiders. And we have a mission. And I share with you the mission of Main Street United Methodist Church. The mission of Main Street is to be a community of disciples calling all to Christ through love and example. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is number 365, Grace Greater Than Our Sin. We just sung that one. Okay. 526, What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
Oh, my sins and griefs to bear.
benediction is a responsive benediction found in your bulletin. Thank you, Jesus.
For hearing us when we cry for mercy.
Thank you, Jesus.
For feeding us when our hands were unclean.
Thank you, Jesus.
For welcoming us when we were foreigners.
Thank you, Jesus.
For healing us when we were wounded.
Thank you, Jesus.
For sending us to do the same.
Thank you, Jesus.